eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher from Liberty, Missouri. And you're listening to podcast episode number 103, being recorded on July 4th, 2007. Well, I'm here at Gettysburg College in Gettysburg, attending the Gilder Learman American History Institute on Lincoln. We've been here for several days, enjoying things both on campus and going off campus a little bit for some different field trips. And yesterday, on July 3rd, we actually took a field trip to Washington, D.C. About 30 of us teachers loaded up a bus and went into Washington, D.C. and visited some of the sites that are associated with Lincoln and his presidency, and had a great day, did some great things. It's about a little over an hour, maybe an hour and a half bus ride from Gettysburg, kind of depending on the traffic a little bit. So we made a nice day of it, saw a lot of neat things. And today in the podcast, just going to kind of talk about a couple of those and some things that you might be interested in as far as Lincoln's presidency and some things in Washington. Well, first of all, we got into Washington and our bus was stopped. And we could tell that the police were cordoning off one of the streets, and we figured that it was probably some type of escort or something like that. And so we waited in traffic for about 5 minutes, and then suddenly we could hear all the sirens and we saw the motorcycles and things. And a limousine sped by, a big black limousine sped by, followed by about 15 different vehicles, all in black, like armored trucks and some SUVs and things like that, more motorcycles. And so we assumed that it was somebody fairly important, either President Lincoln, or we know that Putin was in town the same day, so maybe possibly it was Putin. We don't really know who it was, but it was kind of neat to see everything stop and see this motorcade just kind of whiz by, and then everything resumed after that. So we actually did that at the beginning. That was the first thing we did when we came into Washington, was just wait and stop for the motorcade to go by. And then we went down to the White House, and Professor Gelzo described a little bit about what the White House was like when Abraham Lincoln was there, talked about where different offices were. And one of the neat things about reading about Abraham Lincoln and the White House as it was back then was that anybody truly had, you know, access to the president. You could go there in the morning and basically stand in line in the White House and ask to speak to the president. And unless you were really some kind of, you know, nutball or something like that, you had a really good chance of being able to talk to the president and get whatever message you wanted directly to him. And no security, you know, no types of, you know, high-level bodyguards or anything. You could just walk in and basically talk to the president. So we talked a little bit about what the White House area was like, some of the buildings that were there when Abraham Lincoln was president, things like that. So it was kind of neat to be standing in front of the White House, talk about the historical aspect. And then, of course, we have the modern-day aspect of having people do protests and things. And Scooter Libby was actually, his sentence was commuted just about 2 days before we were there. And so there were protesters chanting things about how, you know, Bush is a criminal and things like that. So it was also kind of neat to see the whole, you know, First Amendment issue come into play with the White House as well in front there at Lafayette Park. So that was the first thing we did. After that, we went over to the Soldiers Home. And this was basically the summer White House for Lincoln when he was in office. And I had never really heard about the Soldiers Home until I read the book Mr. Lincoln's T-Mails by Tom Wheeler. And in reading that book, they talked about how Lincoln read a lot of his telegraphs about the Civil War actually out at the summer White House, or the cottage, or what's commonly known as the Soldiers Home. And so I learned a little bit about it then, but I had never had the chance to visit it, didn't really know too much about it. And right now, it's actually in the process of being restored. And so the people here at Gilder Learman Institute in Gettysburg were able to get us there for a tour. And we actually had to sign waivers because it's a construction area right now. But they're restoring the cottage and a couple of the other buildings around the cottage where basically Abraham Lincoln was president during the Civil War years. They figured he actually spent about one-fourth of his presidency at the cottage, and he did it basically to kind of get away from things, get away from people, but also it had a climatic reason as well. The soldiers' home is located about, they said, 3 miles from the White House, but it's actually in one of the highest points of Washington, D.C., and so the elevation is about 300 feet higher than it is down in the city, and so they actually have a fairly cool breeze that circulates up there on the hill that you don't have when you're down at the White House. And at that time period, it wasn't obviously, you know, the same situation as today where everything's, you know, kept up, you know, the highest level, things like that. It was basically a swamp kind of sitting in front of the White House, and Lincoln liked to get away from that, but a little bit cooler, and so he would actually ride out to the soldiers' home. And they have stories about how, you know, he rode out there on a horse, and he actually sometimes tried to leave before his security could because he didn't like to go with his bodyguards and security detail and things like that. So they have all kinds of stories about him going out to the cottage. They're currently, like I said, in about the last 6 months of preservation work. They're actually going to open it to the public in February of 2008, and should be a really neat site for people to see in Washington that are looking for a Lincoln site. Obviously, it'll be ready for the bicentennial of Lincoln's birth in 2009, so I'm sure that'll be a big event in Washington as well. But it looks like it's going to be a great place. They've got a lot of interactive displays. They've got some ideas for some things that students can do that'll really be interactive as far as computers and making some decisions as far as the Emancipation Proclamation, some things like that. And it should be a really, really neat place. The room that we walked into that really kind of struck me when we were on the tour is the library inside the cottage, and it's all like wainscoting. The entire room is like this wood wainscoting, and they said they actually stripped 23 layers of paint off of the wall to get down to the actual wood that was there originally. So should be a great place. I'm going to do a future podcast actually with Jill Sanderson, the curator of education at the Lincoln Cottage. We'll figure something out a little bit later, but if you want to find out a little bit more about the soldiers' home now, before it opens up in 2008, or February 2008, there is an excellent book out, and they actually gave us a copy of this book yesterday. It's called Lincoln's Sanctuary by Pinsker, and it's a great look at how Lincoln used the cottage as basically his summer White House. So if you have time, I heard that's a great read. Several people on the tour said they've already read it, several other teachers here. And they said it was an excellent book. So another Lincoln book that you might be interested in. After that, we went to the Lincoln Memorial, and that was a great trip. Just kind of was there for about 15 or 20 minutes. There's quite a few people there that day. It was July 3rd, so there was quite a few people. But it was great to be there and kind of, you know, just step in and kind of pay your respects to President Lincoln. I could sit on those steps for hours and just kind of look out on the reflecting pool, so that was a nice stop. And then we returned to Gettysburg, had a little bit of time once we got back for some evening activities, and I wanted to eat at an authentic period food restaurant, and there's a great one in Gettysburg called the Historic Farnsworth House Tavern, and they serve period food, so I made a reservation, and it's very well done. It's very much like the actual building at the time of the Civil War. It was actually built before the Civil War, and I was actually there during the Battle of Gettysburg. And you can actually look at the side of the house and see about 100 different places where bullets had actually hit the building. And it's still visible where you can see those little like pot marks and stuff on the bricks of the building. But the food was excellent. I had the chicken pot pie, and that came, of course, with the sweetened pickled watermelon rind that came before that, so you could sample that. And then I had the spoon bread, which is awesome. I love spoon bread whenever I'm at a period food place. I love to sample the spoon bread and see what it's like. We had some at Colonial Williamsburg. That was probably about 10 years ago when I was there with some students, and that was one of the best things I had on that entire trip. So I had some spoon bread and some sweet potato baked casserole, some bacon and beans, green beans, and just a really good meal. So if you're in Gettysburg and you're looking for a great place to have kind of a period meal, definitely check out the Farnsworth House. And really, as far as price, it was very reasonable. I mean, I had an excellent meal, more than I could actually eat, and it was, you know, under $20. So check that out. There's a lot of places to eat in Gettysburg, and you can eat, you know, pizza, or you could have all kinds of different things. Traditional food, there's some, you know, nice restaurants and pubs and stuff. But I thought this was really well worth the money at the Farnsworth House. And then after that, I walked up to the stores that occupy that area, and there's tons of, you know, bookstores and memorabilia stores. One place that I really enjoyed was a place called Stoneham's, and I actually bought a little cast iron cannon replica there that I can bring back to my classroom, and they had all kinds of other historic items in there. So that's a store that I definitely recommend if you come to Gettysburg. And then also I walked up to the cemetery, and obviously this is my first trip to Gettysburg, so I really didn't know what to expect as far as like place markers for different events and things. And I really thought that there would be more of an actual place where they could say this is where Lincoln stood when he gave the Gettysburg Address. And when I read the Gettysburg Gospel by Britt, you know, he said that they don't really know exactly today a physical place where they could actually put like an X and say this is where the speaker stand was. And so they do have a memorial there with Lincoln's bust, and they've got like the actual words and stuff on a plaque. And then they believe that it was near the soldiers' memorial. And so I went over there and took some pictures over there. But it's just kind of amazing to me that, you know, this huge event that really you know, captivated the city for a long time and was a very memorable event, they don't actually have an actual physical marker where they can say this is exactly where it happened. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But then I also walked around the cemetery a little bit, and it's amazing to see so many gravestones from the Civil War battle that still have, you know, unmarked next to them and things like that. And then I was actually walking past that, and they have some more modern day soldiers that have been buried in the cemetery as well. And I actually passed by one, and I'm kind of somebody that reads a lot of gravestones. I used to mow several cemeteries in my hometown of Howells, and so I'm kind of used to looking at gravestones. And I was walking around, and I actually saw one that had the name of a soldier that was 20 years old and actually was killed in action in World War II on December 7th, 1941. And so obviously he had to be a casualty of Pearl Harbor. So again, that kind of like, you know, when you see that date on a tombstone of a serviceman, you know, it kind of really makes you think about sacrifice and what holidays like the 4th of July are really all about. So that was our second full day in Gettysburg, and we'll continue to be here throughout the week, and I'll have some more podcasts about some of the different activities. We do have some lectures going on and different tours and things like that, so I'll continue to try and tell you a little bit about my personal experiences in this place. The weather here has been amazing all week. It looks like it might actually rain the next couple of days, but so far it's been very cool and light breeze. I'm actually sitting outside one of the dorms they have us in, and there's a little lake here, kind of a pond where students can sit. And I'm sitting in a nice wooden deck chair and just kind of looking out over the lake, and the battlefield is behind me. So, you know, pretty good way to spend an afternoon on the 4th of July, just kind of relaxing and thinking a little bit about history. So, well, if you'd like to leave a comment about this podcast or any of the podcast, you can leave a comment directly on this blog, and the blog is located at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Or if you'd like to leave me an email, you can send an email to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. And don't forget, you've got until the end of July to register for the book giveaway. I'm giving away two books, Manhunt by James Swanson, and then also Guerrilla Season by Pat Hughes. And the Guerrilla Season book will actually be autographed by Pat Hughes. So all you have to do is send me your name and what city you live in, and send that to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. And my daughter will pull out two names on August 1st, 2007, and I will send those to the people that I drew. So check out Podcast 100 if you have any questions about that. So thanks for listening to Speaking of History, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license.
Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.